Okay, let's unpack this. We are diving into something that feels like a real generational leap, the kind we haven't seen in consumer silicon for years.
Yeah, forget the usual, 5% clock speed bumps.
Exactly. We're looking at AMD's next flagship architecture, Zen 6, and the codename is Medusa.
And that codename feels incredibly fitting. Because the leaked documents we're pulling from, the diagrams, the technical excerpts, they all suggest this is a chip designed to, well, permanently petrify the competition.
It's more than just new parts, right? It's a whole new philosophy.
A complete overhaul of their hardware philosophy.
Yeah. So our mission for this deep dive is, I think, really crucial. We need to understand how AMD has engineered its way out of the biggest constraint that's defined its CPUs for the last, what, three generations?
That's the big question.
How did they finally solve that long-standing latency problem with the chiplet design? Mm. And what are these terms the industry is now throwing around, like the 2.5D revolution and 60 TOPS? What do they actually mean for your PC?
You know, what's fascinating here is that Medusa really represents the full maturity of the chiplet concept.
Okay.
When AMD first launched chiplets, it was a brilliant manufacturing move. They could, harvest these smaller, better-yielding dies and combine them, saving a ton of money.
But there was always that trade-off.
Always a performance trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
This generation is about completely eliminating it. We're moving past just small improvements and defining a whole new standard.
So let's start right there, because this is the biggest aha moment for anyone listening. If you're building a system today, you hear chiplet all the time, but you might not get the subtle weakness it introduced.
It really just boils down to communication distance. So if you were running, say, a 16-core Ryzen 7000 chip, you technically had two separate core complex dies, or CCDs.
Two CCDs inside one CPU package.
Right. Think of it like a tiny neighborhood.
Right.
Core 1 and Core 8 live next door to each other in one little complex.
But Core 9 lives, like, miles away in the other complex.
That's a perfect analogy. And for those two complexes to talk, the data had to leave the silicon of CCD1, travel across the Infinity Fabric, and go over the underlying substrate to reach CCD2.
And that trip, even though it's incredibly fast, it introduces nanoseconds of delay.
Exactly. And in really complex tasks, especially gaming or, low latency financial stuff, those little delays add up.
And it just meant that while AMD chips were amazing at parallel workloads, they never quite behaved like one single seamless piece of silicon.
They felt like two very strong partners working together, yeah.
Not one unified brain.
The Medusa philosophy is the systemic fix for that. The documents we have detail a new, highly optimized interconnect topology. It just changes the rules of the Infinity Fabric.
So it minimizes that cross CCD latency penalty.
Down to a negligible degree.
Okay, so let's focus on what that means for the user. If this works as advertised, the new Ryzen 9 10950X with its 16 cores is not going to feel like two 8-core CPUs glued together anymore.
Not at all.
It's going to finally act like a true monolithic 16-core processor. That latency gap that was Intel's, last big talking point.
It's gone. Or it's functionally irrelevant now.
This feels like the critical foundation. If they hadn't solved this, none of the other gains would matter as much.
Absolutely. But making this unified monster actually possible, that required two staggering leaps in manufacturing that we really need to get into.
Which brings us right to this two-pronged manufacturing revolution. Let's start with the building blocks, the lithography, because AMD is making a huge, and I mean, a risky jump here.
They're betting the farm on TSMC's N2 process node, the 2-nanometer process. Now, moving to a brand new complex node is always fraught with risk.
But the rewards must be massive.
According to the sources, overwhelming.
So let's quantify that. Compared to the N3 node in Zen 5, what are the key gains that matter if you're building a PC?
Okay, so first is pure density. We're seeing projections for a 15 to 30% increase in transistor density over N3.
Which, in practical terms, means more cache.
More cache, more logic, you name it. They can pack way more on-chip memory onto the same size die. It means larger caches without the die ballooning in size and cost.
More stuff in the same space. But usually when you cram more in, you hit a thermal wall. Does N2 help with that?
Massively. And this is the second and maybe the most important number, power efficiency. The N2 node promises a 25 to 30% reduction in power consumption at the same speed as an N3 chip.
25 to 30%? That's not a minor tweak.
No, it fundamentally shifts the entire thermal design of the CPU.
So what does that mean for the average person, other than a slightly smaller power bill?
It translates directly into two things. First, better sustained performance. you have so much more power headroom.
So it can hold those boost clocks for much longer.
Much longer, because it's generating way less heat. Your cooler has less work to do. And second, maybe more critically long-term, this makes high core count laptop parts so much more viable.
Right, because they won't throttle nearly as much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You could see Medusa mobile variants doing demanding tasks in thin and lights that were just impossible before.
And in that power headroom is what's letting them push the desktop parts so hard. The clock speed rumors are just, they're striking. We're hearing 6.2 gigahertz out of the box.
And we have to be cautious with early leaks. But the fact that 6.2 gigahertz is even plausible, that points directly to that N2 power reduction.
To hit those speeds reliably, speeds that used to need exotic cooling.
It's a testament to the lithography.
Yeah.
But even this incredible lithography, it isn't the whole story. The latency fix and these high clocks, they both depend on the second prong, this 2.5D advanced packaging.
And this is where the technology trickle-down gets truly revolutionary, the 2.5D revolution. I mean, this kind of packaging used to be for multi-$1,000 silicon.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking ePyC server CPUs or massive AI accelerators like NVIDIA's H100 or AMD's own MI300. And now it's coming to a consumer desktop chip. It fundamentally changes the geography of the chip. So traditionally, the core chiplets, the CCDs, and the I/O die. They were all mounted on an organic substrate.
Which is just that green circuit board material you see on everything.
Right. And you use the analogy of a winding country road before. It gets you there, but it's not the fastest route.
It introduces distance, lower signal quality.
Exactly. With 2.5D packaging, they basically bypass that low-density road completely. They mount the CCDs and the IOD not onto the substrate, but onto a highly refined piece of silicon called a silicon interposer.
So instead of signals traveling across, you know, fiberglass, they're on a dedicated super fast silicon highway right underneath the cores.
That's the perfect visualization. The pathways are incredibly short, they're denser than a human hair, and they're pure silicon.
And that gives you two major benefits.
Immense bandwidth between all the components and critically vastly lower energy consumption per transmission. We're talking huge reductions in picojoules per bit. The chip's internal communication is now hyper efficient.
And that's what kills that last bit of chiplet latency.
That's the final nail in the coffin for chiplet latency, yes.
Wait a second. If 2.5D was ePyC territory last year, that suggests a massive level of complexity. Bringing that to a, what, $700 or $800 consumer chip? Does that mean AMD is basically subsidizing the desktop market to perfect this process for their data center chips?
That is a very insightful question, and the answer is almost certainly yes. Adopting 2.5D on a high-volume product like a Ryzen 9 is a rapid learning curve.
It pushes the cost down and the yields up for their really high-margin server parts.
Faster than if they only used it on niche products. For us, the consumers, this is a massive win. We're getting server-grade connectivity and efficiency for the price of a high-end desktop CPU.
So we've solved latency, we've boosted efficiency with N2, and we've got server-grade packaging. That's already transformative. But AMD isn't just focused on traditional performance. They're making a serious play for the AI future.
The whole industry is shifting toward this AI PC concept. It's really being driven by what we expect from future operating systems like Windows 12.
Microsoft is pushing for systems to handle AI tasks locally, right? Instantly.
And the 10950X is built for this. It integrates a dedicated XDNA3 MPU, a neural processing unit.
This isn't just a general purpose core.
No, this is silicon that is purpose-built for AI workloads. It's incredibly efficient at matrix multiplication, which is the core math behind all of AI.
And the performance target is striking, 60 TOPS. That's trillions of operations per second. What does that actually let you do day to day?
Well, think about all the little things that constantly tack your main CPU. You're on a video call, right? You need real-time noise cancellation, background blur.
Gaze correction, even.
Right. On an older chip, that'll wakes up a main core, hits your performance, makes your fan spin up. With a 60 TOPS MPU, those tasks are handled by dedicated silicon running at maybe 5 or 10 watts. Your main cores are completely untouched.
So smoother multitasking, a quieter system.
That's the immediate benefit. The huge future application is local LLM inference. Running a private chatbot or a powerful local image generator on your PC becomes totally viable.
Without pinging your power-hungry GPU or sending your data to the cloud.
Which is a huge win for privacy and responsiveness.
And while we're talking integrated parts, let's touch on the integrated graphics. They move to RDNA 5. Is this just a checkbox feature, or is it actually useful?
This is a serious upgrade. The sources confirm an iGPU based on RDNA 5 with Probably 4 to 8 compute units. For the first time, integrated graphics are powerful enough to handle modern games at 1080p medium settings.
So if your main graphics card fails, you're not completely out of luck.
You can still game. But for creators and video editors listening, the real utility is the professional media acceleration.
Right, the encoders.
Correct. The RDNA 5i GPU supports the latest encoders, specifically AV1 and the new H266 standard. This provides that quick sync style hardware acceleration that Intel used to dominate.
So super fast rendering for 4K and 8K video.
Exactly. It makes the system highly capable for professional work right out of the box.
Now let's get to the Apex, the ultimate gaming chip. If the standard 10950X is a monster, the X3D version, that's set to be legendary.
The Ryzen 9 Quen 10950X3D takes all the core benefits of Medusa and just multiplies the advantage for gaming. The 3D V-Cache is being integrated using these new 2.5D packaging techniques.
Why does that make the X3D even better this time around?
Because that stacked L3 cache now sits on top of cores that are already communicating at server-grade speeds. The path from the core to that massive cache is shorter, denser, and has lower latency than ever before.
Which is what finally kills that microstutter issue that sometimes happens on older multi-CCD V-Cache chips.
That's the idea. And the performance leap they're projecting is significant.
How significant?
The early data suggests a massive 25% gain in key CPU-bound titles compared to the already excellent 9950X3D.
25%. In what kind of games?
The sources specifically cite complex simulation games like Factorio, high-refresh competitive titles like Valorant, and the physics-heavy world of Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024.
So if you just want the fastest gaming CPU, no compromises, this is it.
This is the ultimate destination.
But ultimate performance usually comes with new platform demands. And we need to be blunt here. AMD preached AM5 socket longevity, but to unlock Medusa, there's a cost.
It's the necessary trade-off. While they promised AM5 would last, the sheer physical and electrical demands of Zen 6 require a socket revision. AM5 plus Met.
Hold on, that promise was a huge selling point for AM5. Are we saying it's basically gone after just 2 generations because the tech just outgrew the socket?
It's a question of bandwidth and signaling integrity, not just power. The Zen 6 chips will likely physically fit into existing AM5 boards with a BIOS update. You can probably run them.
But you won't get the full benefit.
Not even close. To really unlock Medusa, you need the new chipsets, specifically the X970. They handle the massive internal bandwidth and, critically, they support the next generation of memory.
And that would be QDIMM.
Correct. Clocked, unbuffered DIMM DDR5 memory. The new AM5 Plus boards are designed for it, and it allows for stable RAM speeds to exceed 10,000 megatransfers per second. Medusa's unified core architecture has so much bandwidth that it needs that fire hose of memory to avoid being bottlenecked itself.
So if you invest in the CPU but put slower standard DDR5 in it, you're just leaving a ton of performance on the table. The full cost is the CPU, a new motherboard, and this new RAM.
It's an entire ecosystem upgrade. Which brings us to the final point, the price. The inspector's advice in the sources was very clear.
And what's the inspector's final advice for our wallets?
Start saving now. The combination of the expensive TSMC N2 process and adopting this high-density 2.5D packaging, it's going to make the Ryzen 9 10950X the most expensive mainstream CPU AMD has ever launched.
So to wrap this all up, Zen 6, Medusa, it really defines a new performance ceiling. It has functionally eliminated the Achilles heel of the chiplet design.
While pushing efficiency with 2 nanometers and integrating server-grade packaging.
If you're sitting on older hardware, even previous Zen generations or, you know, Intel 13th gen, the jump in raw speed, efficiency, and AI readiness is going to be massive.
Yeah.
Intel has a serious mountain to climb here.
Which brings us to a final provocative thought for you. We've just talked about the consumer desktop adopting 2.5D packaging and advanced NPUs tech that was, until very recently, exclusive to data centers.
Right.
So if consumer hardware is adopting server-grade density this quickly, what does that say about the future divergence or maybe the convergence of consumer data center hardware? Will the distinction just become core count? Or will the consumer desktop effectively become a true mini supercomputer, ready for workloads we only associate with the cloud today?
Something to think about as you start making space in your budget and in your PC case.